high school.
Picture 30 kids, and they're just, you know, they're marching like this when they're singing. I know some of us are too old to do that anymore, but we can do it in our heads. Well, we have the troops with us this morning, and it's been a privilege to hear them already. And he did introduce his family this morning, but I've asked him to do it again before he comes and speaks to us. So, David, if you would just introduce your family once again, then come and give us a message.
We're going to be around here until Wednesday morning, so if anyone wants to get together and talk some more, just let us know. We'll put it on our schedule. Feel free to ask us questions at the church, or there's a list out there if you want to get our email updates, you can write your email address on there. All right. So, as a missionary in Ecuador, something that I ask myself almost every day is, why am I doing this? Why did I move here to the Amazon jungle and choose to raise my family here? Why do we continue living here, even when there are many depressing days, when the Lord seems to hide his face? When it doesn't seem like The Lord is working in the hearts of those around us, or even in our own hearts. Why don't we just pack up and move back to the U.S.? Why would we struggle to communicate in a different language and live in a culture so different from what we're used to? What's my motivation to do all this? Or perhaps in your life, You may be wondering something like this. Perhaps you have been a Christian for many years, but you've seen the decline in zeal for the Lord. Perhaps you come here to church every Sunday and go to work Monday through Friday, and it seems like you're stuck in the same old routine. Maybe it's hard to see how God is working in your life and in the lives of those around you. Maybe you wonder, what's the point of it all? Is God really using me? Shouldn't my life be used for something more? Or maybe perhaps you think that these kind of questions seem taboo, so you just pretend like everything's okay. And so for all of us, for me and for you, I'd like to turn to God's word to help remind us of the reasons for why God has placed us here and called us to live out our lives in a broken and sinful world. So let's open our Bibles to Psalm 96. And we'll be mostly focusing on the first three verses. But we'll read it all here. Down in Ecuador, once you find it in your Bible, you've got to say amen. So the pastor knows you can go on. All right, so just a little bit of background. We can read in 1 Chronicles 16 that David wrote this psalm when the Ark of the Covenant was being brought into Jerusalem. You remember David was full of joy, and he was jumping and dancing and celebrating, and his wife Michael despised him for it. So why was he so happy? Do you remember? It's because God was finally coming to dwell among the Israelites in Jerusalem. And so as we read this psalm, let's read it with the same joy in our hearts that David had when he wrote it. So if you're able, please stand with me as we read God's word. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. You may be seated. What an amazing song, right? Look at how it begins by calling us to sing to the Lord. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. So David loved to worship the Lord through singing. Beautiful melodies combined with beautiful words of praise create songs that magnify the glory of the Lord. And here I want us to focus on how he says to sing to the Lord a new song. Why does David say a new song? Why not just sing a song? So think about it for a second. What's special about a brand new song? You might remember when you heard a great new song for the first time, and it seemed so much better than when you heard it for the 500th time. It helped you to think and see something differently than you ever had before. And so, in order to sing new songs to the Lord, our hearts and minds need to be focused on God and meditating on his excellencies. And the only way we can sing new songs is if we are thinking about God's character, what he does, and then we can think of new ways to express how great he is. And this is something that defines the heart of a Christian. Believers are so enamored by our God, by all that he is and all that he does for us, that we can't help but burst forth in songs that flow from our hearts and through our lips. And so I'd ask us to examine our hearts and our lives. Are our minds filled with the concerns and the worries of the world, or are they filled with the glories of God and always thinking of new ways to worship him? And next, in the psalm, David instructs us not just to keep those songs to ourselves, but to proclaim them to people all around us, even traveling to other nations to do so. He says, proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. And later on in verse 10, he says, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. And so our worship of God, our new songs that we sing to him, they're not meant to be for us alone, but they're meant to be shared with the world. They're meant to be shared with our unbelieving neighbors, family, friends. They're meant to be shared with strangers and even unto the ends of the earth. It says, tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. And he says, proclaiming the tidings of the salvation from day to day. So he tells us what we are to tell about, and also when to tell about. So what are we to tell about? His salvation, right? And when are we to tell about it? Day to day. The Lord's salvation is what our hearts meditate on and think about and write new songs about. And then we share it with others. But what is the Lord's salvation? The word salvation means that someone is being rescued from danger. And so in our case as Christians, the Lord's salvation means that the Lord is rescuing us from something. Right? What is it? Why did Jesus come to die on the cross? Did he just come as a good example for us to follow of humility and servanthood? Is that the only reason why he came and died? No. What does the Bible say? God's word tells us that he is perfect in all of his ways. He is holy, and without sin. God created us. He blessed us with all good things. But instead of honoring him as our creator and king, we have all rejected God. And in our pride, in our sinful passions, and our desires, we choose to regard ourselves as rulers of our own lives. We, as descendants of Adam, follow in his footsteps of thinking that we know better than God. We want to live our lives exactly how we want to live, and not according to how God wants us to live. And that's our human condition. That's how we are as sinners, and we've all rebelled against our Creator and King. And so, therefore, we all deserve to be destroyed, since God is perfectly holy and just. He should condemn us all to hell forever, right? That is what a good judge would do. Where we live in Ecuador, there's a lot of talk about corruption. For example, if a rich politician does something horrible, say he goes and kills someone, and then he goes to the courtroom, what would happen if the judge was corrupt? He would turn the politician loose, right? He would set him free, even though he was guilty in exchange for a kickback. But God is not a corrupt judge. We can't bribe him or try to convince him that we're actually good people. He condemns all evildoers. And so the problem for us is that we are all evildoers. We all deserve to be condemned and punished and pay for our sins for all eternity in hell. I deserve that, you deserve that. And that is humanity's greatest problem. Our problem is that we all deserve to suffer under the perfect wrath of God. And God's judgment is coming. It is sure, just like it says here in the psalm, in verse 10, he will judge the peoples with equity. And in verse 13, before the Lord, for he is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. But I ask you, has God left us? Will we all suffer under his wrath as we deserve? In his great mercy and love, God has created a way for salvation. He has come to us. He has lived with us. And of course, I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus came to live and die as a sacrifice. And Jesus was the only person, fully man, yet also fully God, the only one to ever live a sinless life. Only Christ could bear the sins of many and suffer under the intense wrath of God and still resurrect from the dead to rule as king and judge over the entire universe. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he took the sins of his people upon himself, and God the Father crushed him, as Isaiah 53 says. He poured out his anger and wrath on his Son, who suffered and died as our substitute. And now for all those who trust in Christ for salvation, which he has provided freely, we can be justified in God's sight. That is, we receive the righteousness of God, Christ's sinlessness, so that we can come before a holy God without spot or blemish. And not only are we declared righteous, not only have all debts been canceled, but God also calls us sons and daughters and gives us an inheritance with Jesus. An eternity in heaven where we will dwell with him without any more sin or pain or suffering or death. And that is the marvelous gospel. The good news that God has saved us from his own wrath against our sin. He has provided us a way to be clean in his sight. He has showered us with blessings and has sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us as the first fruits of our inheritance. And this is the joy that fills our hearts and our minds. This is the substance of our new songs that we sing to the Lord. And this is why we don't worship idols, like it says here in verse 5, For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. We don't need worthless idols when we have Jesus, the great author and perfecter of our faith. This is the Christ that we proclaim to the peoples. This is why my family moved to Ecuador. This is why we go out to the towns and the communities in our area. Because wouldn't it be wonderful to see fellow Shuar and Saduru and Mestizo brothers and sisters receive Christ's salvation and be transformed by the gospel? To hear new songs of praise to our God sounding forth from the mountains of southeastern Ecuador. To see churches established in the communities along the Nagata River. These are the things that motivate me to keep laboring in proclaiming the greatness of the Lord. So I got a question. Where else in the Bible, outside of the Psalms, do we read about singing a new song? Revelation. You got it. Chapter 5, Revelation. So let's turn there. And as we read this, let's keep an eye out for the similarities between this passage and what we read in Psalm 96. No one's there yet? I haven't heard any amens. Revelation 5. So let's focus on one part, but let's start in verse 1 just to get more of the context of what's going on right here. It says, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. And then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, Stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as it's slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Isn't this such a great chapter? So here we see Jesus, the slaughtered lamb, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming forward in triumph to take the book which no creature can open. Only Jesus can open the book, which will bring about God's judgment on the earth. And this is such a climactic part. And what happens when he grabs the book? Did you catch this? Every creature in heaven and on earth, all of them, burst out in worship and song. Verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and seven bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slaughtered and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and will reign upon the earth." And then in verse 11, the angels respond, and in verse 13, every other creature in heaven and on earth responds. And we read in verse 9 that they are singing a new song, a new song of worship to Jesus. So this is one that hasn't been sung before. It's new. And what's the song about? It says, this is their song. Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slaughtered and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they reign upon the earth. So the song is about Jesus' redemptive work, the salvation that he has provided, his sacrifice on the cross. And who has he redeemed? People from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. So do you see here the similarities to David's new song in Psalm 96? There in Psalm 96 it says, "Sing to the Lord a new song." And here in Revelation we have a new song. Psalm 96, "Proclaim his salvation." Here in Revelation we have a complete picture of God's salvation in Christ. Psalm 96, "Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples." And here in Revelation, we read how Christ has redeemed people for God from all the nations, all the peoples. So this is the stuff that our new song should be about. And in a sense, this is the ultimate new song. The mystery of God's salvation for all peoples among all nations has finally been revealed in Christ. So when David wrote Psalm 96, he didn't have the complete picture of Christ's salvation that we have today. We have the new full picture. And yet David, he still danced around wildly in worship of our God. So how much more shall we, who know Christ, burst forth in worship of the slaughtered lamb? David was singing because God was coming to dwell among them in the ark. But we sing because God has come to dwell in us, which is so much more significant. We know that Christ has redeemed people from among all the nations, so how much more gladly we go and declare his glory among the nations, because we know that God's elect will respond in faith. So these are the kinds of things I want us to turn to when we find ourselves in a spiritual rut, when we lose sight of our purpose in life. So come to verses like these and see Jesus again in all of his glory. Amen. And back in Psalm 96, David says in verse 2, "Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day." So this is something we do every day. When we're working with coworkers, when we go to the store and buy things, when we're walking down the road, when we're teaching our children, let us sing new songs in our hearts and out loud to our neighbors, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." Let's live intentional lives for our God. Let's expend ourselves in service to our King's cause. Let's make sure that all of our neighbors, wherever we may be, whether here in Rogers City or in Narragansett County, Ecuador, let's make sure that everyone hears about our Lord's marvelous salvation, which he has provided to everyone who comes to him in faith and repentance. So let's proclaim to those around us the glories of the Lamb who was slain, the mystery of God revealed, that Christ has died to bring people from every tribe, language, people, and nation to himself. And this really is the reason for which God has placed us on this earth. This is the true purpose in life. Just as our missionary God has come to us to show us his glory and grace, so we are called to follow him in that same task of going and declaring his greatness. Because the Lamb is worthy. So let's go forth and sing new songs about our King and Savior. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. Let's pray. Father God, you are holy, 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 and we come before you as sinners, knowing that we fully deserve your wrath against our sin, knowing that we are as nothing, that we don't deserve an ounce of your grace, yet in your love and mercy we know from your word that you have provided a way of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. The Lamb was slain, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, and for that we are so filled with praise and thanksgiving. Lord, I ask you for all of us here that as we encounter trials, as we get focused on the daily tasks, the daily grind, all the things that come up during our day distract us, Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would fill us more and more, that we would be able to be thinking about, meditating on your glories, and that we would always remember that you are the King of the universe, that everything we do should be done unto you. To the praise and glory of your name. Lord, I pray that you would be working in my brothers and sisters here in Rogers City. I thank you for them and their faithfulness to you. Their faithfulness to your cause. I pray that you would bless them, give them encouragement as they labor to make your name great in this part of the world. And I just ask you, Lord, that you would continually renew us and fill us with your Spirit, that everything we do would be done to your glory. Yeah, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.